So today we continue the power of the gospel series. We're going to talk today about the power of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom of God. In the gospel of Luke, in the 17th chapter, it says that once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Amen. Amen. This world started as a beautiful place, huh? Because there was then only one kingdom in this world, the kingdom of God. Huh? When human beings rejected the kingdom of God, they subjected themselves to the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the enemy, right? When people, Adam, Eve, when humans rejected the kingdom of God, they subjected themselves to the kingdom of darkness. Following that? Satan became the ruler of this world, the scripture says. Jesus even didn't contest that, but he came to change it. Come on. When Satan became the ruler of this world, the result became pretty obvious. You know, hatred, war, pain, death, sickness, disease, destruction. Yes. Those were the signs of the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness. And we know, even today, it's not good. We don't want it, do we? We don't want it. We know, maybe perhaps from, you know, that generational memory that gets passed down from our great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, we know that the earth was created good and that we were created very good, the scriptures say. Many people, you know, have tried to fight against the evil that came into this world by instead of doing evil, doing good, helping people, helping others instead of hurting them. And the world has seen many people that have made a difference, you know, from way back with Enoch, who walked with God, right? Noah, who was the righteous man that found favor in God's sight. Abraham, who was a man of faith. Joseph, Moses, David. These people tried to do what was right, tried to be just, tried to help others, to right injustices that were all around them in the world. Now, they didn't always use the perfect means to bring about justice, but they were trying to make a positive difference in a world filled with pain brought about by evil, hatred, murder. In a real sense, not all the people in the world have been evil all the time, not since the days of Noah. Matter of fact, God's grace, I believe, that came to the earth as that symbol of the rainbow after Noah's flood, is the reason for the world not decaying faster than it has. How many have seen the movie Noah that just came out yet? Yeah, it actually was disturbing. Kim and I went to see it Friday night. It was, it certainly wasn't accurate in regard to all of its presentations, but I guess it wasn't intended to be. It's a film play and a lot of discussion about it. But one thing for sure, it does present the story in a way that makes you understand that the world at that time was very, very, very wicked. I believe that it was God's grace that looked through that and said, if I don't stop it, there's not going to be a chance for the Savior to come. There's not going to be an opportunity. I believe that wickedness had grown so fast, not that it surprised God, but that as he looked through it, he realized that if he didn't do something even then to stop it,
there's not going to be a chance for the Savior to come. There's not going to be an opportunity. I believe that wickedness had grown so fast, not that it surprised God, but that as he looked through it, he realized that if he didn't do something even then to stop it, that there would never be time for Christ to come. There would never be an opportunity. People were that wicked all the time. And so we know the story of God restarting through the flood, through Noah and his family, through God's grace. Huh? And I believe that when he reset the clock, what he did is he enabled the world to not morally decline faster than it has. Follow that thought. You know, when I say that the world has morally declined, do you know there are many in the world today that would challenge that? Not necessarily Christians. Huh? There are many that would challenge the truth that we see of the moral decline. They would say that, you know, well, there's no doubt the world has changed, but it's changed for the better. In which I would say, you know, there are some things that have changed for the better. Medicine, for example, though it's not perfect, I'm so glad that babies born prematurely are able to be ministered to through modern science and medicine that keeps them alive. That they didn't have that before. That's a good thing. It's a very good thing, huh? I'm glad that people don't have to die anymore from small infections that they didn't have anything to counter. I'm glad for those advances. And as I said, although medicine's not perfect by a long shot, I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for things like the abolishment of slavery. I'm glad that we came out of that. I'm glad that we saw the light, so to speak, and that Christians led the change. They really did. I'm thankful that we have seen betterment in some areas of human life, but I'm telling you, it's painfully clear that we have lost ground in many others. Huh? Violence. While our past has seen violence, it's usually come through wars and the result typically of a very immoral dictator, right? Trying to take over the world and in his selfish pursuit left the carnage of many, many human beings dead. War has become much different these days in America. It's now very internalized. It's everywhere, huh? I remember when we first moved to Bedford County. Anybody recognize that school? And Kim was taking a job in the Chestnut Ridge area to teach. I thought we'd be moving into an area that would not see such a prevalence of drugs, you know, for example. And, you know, I was very rudely awakened. I was very surprised to see that drugs were everywhere. And that there was no place really on the face of the earth that you could go and get away from them anymore. You know? I know probably like you, you know, you dream of that small town maybe in the South, you know, where Opie in the Andy Griffith Show grew up, and you know, that you'd like to go there. But there is no there anymore. There really isn't. Everywhere, there really is a sign of the tremendous problem. I mean, metal detectors in schools, police that are there because of the tremendous violence that we have seen, that have infiltrated the halls where our beautiful children walk. Ha! Now, come on. No one can make the argument that humans have eradicated evil today. No one can make that argument. The kingdom of darkness is still here. Even today, over 2,000 years after Christ came to usher in the kingdom of God. So here's the questions I want to join with you in digging into today. Here's the one. If Satan is defeated, then why is his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, still obviously present in the world today? Will we ever eradicate evil on the earth? Will we still make progress against its evil tide? What do you think? Where is the kingdom of God? And what difference does it make? What difference has the message of the kingdom of God made upon the earth? Well, the truth is much in many ways. That last question in regard to what difference has the message of the kingdom of God, what difference did Christ make? I would say to you, much in many, many ways. I know that Christianity has had its dark days and still is not perfect in imperfect human beings, but much has been done in the name of Jesus that is very, very good. Very, very good. Many people have been helped and continue to be helped. Many social programs have been birthed out of Christianity as people wanted to put legs on the gospel. My goodness, you know, the hospice movement that I'm involved in came out of a Christian message. Salvation Army, right? The Red Cross. All of these things had its origins in Christianity and people that were moved by the truth of the gospel to want to help others find that truth, find that freedom, find that help. And they were willing to put legs on their words. Christians have made a positive difference in this world. There is no doubt. Don't forget that. I mean, you look at people like Corrie ten Boom, you know, who survived the Nazi concentration camps. Or how about Mother Teresa? My goodness gracious. I love this quote. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Huh? Hey, make a difference. There's no doubt that people like she has made an incredible difference in this world, inspiring others. Why? Because they themselves were inspired by the gospel. They were compelled to take that truth and put it into practice. There have been also been many lives that have been dramatically changed as a result of believing the truth of the gospel and receiving its power to free them, to transform them from lives of devastation and hopelessness to lives of freedom and lives of new life. People set free, people delivered, people healed, people brought into the kingdom of God to see hope for their lives and to find the power of the kingdom for themselves. Many people changed dramatically. Testimonies. The devil is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Testimonies are powerful for that reason, because a testimony is someone that can stand up and say, I am a life that was changed. How about you? Everyone has that testimony, and everyone has a powerful testimony. You see, there's much joy that's spread when the kingdom of God is actually manifested. Much joy. That's because there's real power in the kingdom of God for those that willingly enter it. And you know how most people become willing to enter it? Because they have seen a witness. They have heard a testimony. Jesus was the first witness to the power of the kingdom of God. He was the first to testify. His first act, very first act after his baptism. What was it? The very first thing that he did after Jesus was baptized. It says, immediately the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Why? To confront the kingdom of darkness, right? To provide the challenge that he came to provide and to overcome. And we know that story. We know how Jesus did not succumb to the temptations of the enemy. We know that even that last temptation where, I'm sorry, Doug, it's the one right before that. When Jesus was taken up to the high mountain and shown that, we'll stay on that one, that the kingdoms of the world, it says, right? Isn't that what it says? That Jesus was taken up to the high mountain and shown all the kingdoms of the world. And what did Satan say to him? All this is mine, but I will give it to you if you fall down and worship me. becoming basically Satan's prince, with Satan still the king of this world. And Jesus told him to take a hike. Now, that's a pretty good paraphrase, I think. Don't you? Take a hike. He said that he would worship God and worship him alone. You know what's interesting is that, now you can bring that next slide up, is that many other people wanted to confer upon Jesus, give Jesus an earthly kingdom. The people that saw his miracles, especially when he fed the multitudes, they wanted to make him king by force. But Jesus would not have anything of it. Matter of fact, he got out of Dodge when they tried to take him and make him king by force. Why? Because they wanted to make him king of the world as it was. And Jesus didn't come to become that kind of king. He came to change the kingdoms of this world. He came to usher in what we know and we call the kingdom of God. That's why he said, this kingdom is not of my world. Pilate was there in that picture. You know, in that movie, we see the dramatic presentation of the gospel where Pilate confronted Jesus and said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world system. It's not of this world." He refused to inherit this world system. That's not what he wanted. He didn't lay claim to being this fallen world's king. He came to proclaim himself as the king of all creation, the king who wants to confer a kingdom upon all who willingly follow, a kingdom that he wants to give us that begins here inside, not outside, in our hearts, amen? A kingdom, he said, that is within you. Jesus' kingdom is different. People didn't grab it. They didn't understand it. In God's kingdom, God reigns. That's what it's all about. In God's kingdom, God reigns. Truth reigns. Love reigns supreme. And Jesus was fighting all along to get people to see that. That he didn't want the false kingdom of this fallen world. He didn't. That was an inferior kingdom. He rejected it. He didn't want to rule a kingdom that was established by violence, hatred, murder. Just think about what would have happened if next week, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, instead of riding gently into Jerusalem on a donkey, he would have picked up his war chariots and given his disciples spears and swords. How different that would have been. What kind of an entry into Jerusalem? What would be the result of it? War, bloodshed, violence. Jesus would have nothing of it. Through all those temptations, you know, even ones that come from those that he was so close to, like Peter. You remember when Jesus told Peter and the disciples that he would be handed over to men and crucified? That's when Peter just jumps up and says, "Far be it, Lord, this will never happen to you." That's Peter, the one who he just said, "And you are Peter the rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The very next thing Peter says, "No, Lord, you will not suffer. Far be it from you. You will not. It shall never happen to you." And Jesus replied to Peter, "Get ye behind me, Satan." Jesus saw Satan entrenched in the very suggestion of Jesus, instead of willingly submitting his life to do whatever it takes to preserve it. Fight, they said. I'm convinced, I am absolutely convinced that Judas really believed that what he was doing when he went behind the scenes and paid, or was paid, 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. I'm fully convinced that what Judas really wanted to see happen is Jesus to use his power to save himself and therefore declare himself king over all. I'm convinced that Judas didn't realize that Jesus would willingly give his life. I'm convinced that Judas was shocked, surprised, when he saw Jesus being crucified, tortured, so shocked that he realized then what he had done too late. Judas thought that Jesus would take up his power. He had it. Judas saw it. He had been with him for 3 years. Judas saw Jesus perform miracles that no man could do. He knew. But this is the part that he didn't know, that Jesus did not want that kind of kingdom. That Jesus would not use violence to usher in his kingdom. That he would bring about the kingdom of God through his willing sacrifice of himself through the cross. So under the cross he goes, right? And it says that through the cross, what Jesus did is he went to the very heart of this current world system and to its leader, the prince of this world, who was who? The prince of this world was Satan. And it says that through the cross, Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities, making a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them by the cross. It says that he, through his death, destroyed him who held the power of death, the devil, and freed those who were held captive in slavery by the fear of death. It says that Jesus came to destroy the devil's work, and he did it through the cross. Disarmed, destroyed the devil's work. How? He recaptured that which was lost, that Adam forfeited. Adam forfeited that kingdom when he disobeyed. Did Jesus ever disobey? Huh? When Jesus descended into Hades, there was no power of the enemy that could hold him. Jesus said, "The prince of this world has no hold on me." You got to understand what that means, that every person who ever lived before that, whenever they died, the prince of darkness could lay claim to them, hold them in the grave because of sin. Jesus had the power to overcome Satan because he never sinned. And so can you see it? Can you just go behind the scenes and can you see what happened on that day that we're going to soon celebrate? That Friday when Jesus said, "It is finished," gave up his spirit and descended into Hades. And the enemy left out a blood-curdling scream because he now knew that he could not hold Jesus. Instead, tramping on his head, Jesus rose from the dead, triumphant, in power, overcame all the power of the enemy, overcome the power of death and Hades, proved himself to be the king of all. Jesus came out to say, "All authority in heaven and earth is now given unto me." All authority, those are words that speak of the kingdom. All authority, he said, has been given unto me. This is what Jesus spent 40 days after the resurrection telling the disciples about, how the kingdom of God was now present, how its power could change everything. Now listen, how the power of the kingdom could change everything. This is what he now taught the disciples, and he told them, though, to wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it, for in a few days from now, you will receive that power. You will receive the confirmation that now the kingdom of God has come. That now the kingdom of God can come within you. Don't do anything until you have received that power. And all those words are for us today, church. We come to the point of realizing we can't do anything until we receive that power. We can't save ourselves. We can't transform ourselves. There's no self-help system that's ever been created by man that can transform the human heart. There is none but the power of the kingdom of God that can come within you, that did come that day on Pentecost, as was witnessed that day by so many. Jesus made it possible. How? The same way that we receive that kingdom today. Jesus passed on the lesser offer to obtain the greater. And that's what he offers you and me today. Offers all who will choose. You see, to enter the kingdom of God, we must be willing to let go of the holdings that Satan offers us in this world system. We have to see that. Because Satan offers us the same thing that he offered Jesus that day in the wilderness. He wants us to bite on the same temptation, the same lie that worked from our great-granddaddy Adam and grandmother Eve the whole way through history, but did not work on our Lord. So now Jesus says, this is the way we enter the kingdom of God, that we say no to the devil's lies, and we say yes to the kingdom of God. We let go of the trappings of this world system because we have come to see the futility of trying to live by them and by its rules. I mean, come on, aren't you frustrated with the church? Aren't you frustrated, you know, that the world keeps telling you got to have bigger and better? Aren't you frustrated that the world's road to success, you know, the ladder that they say is what you climb to success, when you try it, you find out it's leaning on the wrong building. It's false. Shallow. It's not it. We got to be willing to embrace the better. And we do so by being willing to abandon the lesser, just like Jesus did. We have to be aware, come to understand the difference of the kingdom of God than the world system that's in place today. Huh. You see, today, the truth is, the kingdom of God has come. That's true. But it exists alongside the world system that the enemy has created. Both are present. How can that be? Pastor Jesus defeated the devil. Yes, he did. Now you must, through him. You see, the reason that both are present in the world today is very clear, church. It's because not everyone has chosen the kingdom of God. Both are still present. Both choices are still available. The power of the kingdom only comes to those who willingly choose, who willingly say yes to Jesus, willingly say yes to the kingdom of God. That's the only way people come out of the kingdom of darkness. There only is two choices, two kingdoms. There's no middle road. I know people don't realize that. I know it. I know the God of this world blinds the minds of unbelievers that they can't see this, but there only are two kingdoms in this world. And if you're not in one, you are in the other. That's the truth. The kingdom of God has come. But just as it was in the days of Joshua, God says the same thing. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus as Lord means that you are totally surrendering to Him. Boy, Americans don't like surrender, do we? Oh, that's a foreign word. Humans don't like it. But I'll tell you what makes all the difference, knowing who you're surrendering to and what He's like and what He offers. Choosing means choosing love over selfishness, right? Choosing delayed gratification over instant. Well, that'll preach. Choosing because you've come to see the power of the kingdom of God and you really want it. You want it. But power to do what exactly? Power to be freed from the power of the enemy. Power to be freed from the slavery of sin. I love that verse that Paul says, sin shall no longer be your master. There's a way out of it. There's a way to be freed. It's the power to change. It's the power of a new life. It's the power of hope. It's the power of eternal life, which means, by the way, among other things, no more fear of death. You don't have to live in self-centeredness. You don't have to live always trying to get more for you, protecting yourself at all costs. You don't have to live that way anymore. You have the power to live what Jesus called the abundant life. You have the power to help others. That's the power of God. That's the power in the kingdom of God. It was evidenced in the early church. Right after the day of Pentecost, I love this verse. It says, everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders were done, miraculous signs by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who has had need. They continued every day to meet together in the temple courts, breaking bread in their homes, eating together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. But don't believe for a second that as that power of the kingdom began to go forth, that there wasn't resistance to it. Remember, the kingdom of darkness, though defeated by Christ, still He wanted to blind others to the truth. His power now is only in lies. But don't ever underestimate the power of lies. It has to be people that come to the knowledge of the truth that get set free. You see, the kingdom of God began pressing against the gates of hell that day. That's what was going on. The kingdom of God began banging against the gates of hell. And the enemy did not like it. And the only thing he could do about it was try to stop it. You see, the very presence of that early church threatened that other kingdom. Rightly so. Rightly so. Let me just read this verse of scripture. I know it's one that really brings this message home. It's one that Dee was reading in prayer today. It says, now this is after, you know, the gospel started going forth, miracles started happening, the kingdom of God began to be demonstrated, manifested on the earth, and the enemy didn't like it. And it said that they began to be persecuted, even by the religious leaders of that day. Again, the ones, the same ones that persecuted Jesus. Peter and John had healed a man crippled from birth on the Sabbath. And as they did, Satan put those thoughts in those leaders' minds, arrested them, drug them in and said, by what power, what name did you do these things? And they said, by the power, the name of Jesus. No, you can't preach in that name. Get here, Satan's voice in theirs. But they couldn't hold them. On their release, it says, Peter and John went back to his own people. Back up again, Doug. On their release, Peter and John, back up again, went back to their own people, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, listen, this is verse 24. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. Listen to what they said. Sovereign, sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David, when he said, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. But they did what your power and will had beforehand decided should happen. Now look at this. This is what they prayed. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with boldness, great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were now in one heart and one mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. They shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles testified to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Much grace was upon them all. There was no needing persons among them. Time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. That's the kingdom of God. That's a different world system. That's not the way this world works. That's people who have rejected the principles of this world. Me, 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 give it to me. That's people that says, you have need, I have some. It's a different principle. It's a different kingdom. It's the kingdom that Jesus says, I want you to enter. But to do so, do you see? You have to leave the other one. Oh no, you can't leave this earth. But you can leave the kingdom of this earth by entering the kingdom of God. By saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want that kingdom. I want to abide by the guidelines, the principles, and the power of your kingdom. Amen? How? Well, I can tell you one thing. It's not a matter of words. It's not a matter of talk. Anybody can talk the talk. Paul said, it's a matter of power. Power. Power to be reckoned with. When the church is operating out of the power of the kingdom of God, the church becomes a power to be reckoned with in this world, a power that challenges the gates of hell. Oh. That's what we want to be. We want to be people of the kingdom. We want to be people with the power of God that challenge the enemy's system. A people to be reckoned with. In all of our teaching, in all of what we come to know and believe and act upon, There needs to be a steady work going on that is demonstrating this power today, church, demonstrating it by resisting the temptation of selfishness and being willing to be like Peter and John. Even it's them that could say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, be set free. In all of our teachings, we can't become those to whom the demon said, Peter, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? The enemy needs to know us by name, church. Come on. We need to be that person that the enemy would say, Tessa I know, Chet I know, Rob I know, Rick I know. And we enter that kingdom by, of all things, the giving up of ourselves, the letting go, the surrender to God, our King. Surrender. Surrender self-will, self-interest, self-centeredness. That's the kingdom of Satan. That was the ruin and the loss of the kingdom of God. Do you see it? And how does God bring us to that surrender? Sometimes he brings us to the end of ourselves. You know. He knows. Sometimes he has to bring us to the very end of ourselves before we say, I surrender. And when we do, that's when the kingdom of God comes into you. It comes through surrender, doesn't it? It comes through that act of your will. When you say, I know Jesus as Savior, but I want to know him as Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever really, truly made him the Lord of your life? I believe that we will never see the power of God work in our lives and through our lives until we do. And I believe it's what God wants. I surrender. I've seen. And I want what I could never do, but that you've done. I want your power to come into my heart, to transform every bit of evil. I want to be like David that says, search me and know me, and if there's any evil way in me, turn me in thy way everlasting. I want to be transformed. I want to be Jesus to the world who sees him in me and sees his power so mightily at work within me. I want them to see a life transformed. I want his kingdom to come. And today I pray that you ask him that very thing. I surrender, Lord. I surrender. Let's do it together, church. Let's just pray and see it clearly and know the choice that's before us. Let's understand the kingdom of God. Let's be willing to be people of that kingdom by making Jesus the Lord of who we are. I surrender. Abba, Father, Jesus. Lord, It's so easy to get tied up into this world system and play by its rules. And oh God, it tires us so. God, it saps the life right out of us. But you have come that we might have life and have it to the full. And so, Lord, we surrender. We surrender, Lord, our will to your will. We surrender, Lord, our way to your way. Jesus, be our Lord. Be our King. And allow us to live in the power of your kingdom, Lord. Come into our hearts. Do your work there. Lord, we give you all of our hearts and we ask you to be on the throne of our hearts, that our greatest desire, Lord, would be to glorify you and to live for you and to see, oh God, you so powerfully live through us. Change us, Lord, now. Bring us into your glorious kingdom. Fill us anew with your spirit of power, the confirmation of the kingdom, oh God. Lord, as we stand in this place, church, would you stand with me? As we stand in this place today, Lord, we lift up hands to you and we ask you, oh God, to fill us anew with the power of your kingdom. Pour out your spirit, oh God, into every heart in this place, Lord. Pour out your spirit this day. Pour out, oh God, into us. The power to live for you, the power to be your church, the power to be your people. We surrender, Lord, unto you, Lord. You are the King of who we are. You are our great King. You, oh God. You, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For the power to be set free, that sin shall no longer be our master. The power, O God, to have our hearts changed, to burn away the evil, to shine with your light, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Lord, with eagerness, Lord, we surrender, Lord, that you might become great in us. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Fill us this day, for we give ourselves to you. You are our King. We surrender to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Abba, Father, that the world might know, because they see now you in us, that we can go forth, Lord, to make a difference, to be that light and salt. Lord God, to be able, oh God, to be a transforming power for good in this world. This is who we are. It's because of you in us. We are agents of your kingdom now, Lord. And let your power, oh God, confirm it, Lord, in us and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church.